God is good all the time. Those are some of the hardest words as a Christian that you will ever have to mutter in times of despair. But you still need to utter them. No matter what happens in our lives, and I am not in the position that Brother John is in right now, but I hope and pray that when the time comes and I have to face something, I hope and pray that I can say the words, God is good all the time. No matter what happens in your life, God has been good to you. And I hope that we can say those words. I really do. We talked last week about ruptured relationships. We talked last week about forgiveness. I had several folks talk to me about after the service about forgiving and about what happens if nobody listens to you or what happens if you forgive them but they don't reciprocate. What happens if you extend that hand of forgiveness but they don't want to take the forgiveness? I alluded to a little bit of that last week. Not everybody in this world is going to be saved, but everybody in this world has the opportunity to be saved. It's a forgiveness issue that sometimes people cannot come to grips with, understanding that they've done wrong, understanding that they've hurt somebody. And there's times in my life, and you have this as a preacher, you have this a lot. And there's really, if you're any type of preacher that's worth his salt at all, you're going to offend somebody sometime in your life. That's just the way it is. And on top of that, I've got a personality that offends people sometimes as well. So I am a partaker of the offend giver a lot. I've got to come to grips with the fact that I may offend somebody. If you're going to ever repair a ruptured relationship, you've got to understand that there are times that you offend people. No amens, I'm glad. There's got to be times that you come to grips with, you may be the person that does this. And in that same token, you've got to understand that what comes around goes around, and the golden rule that they used to teach in school really does exist. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. So you got to understand something, that if you're getting ready to not forgive somebody, there's going to be a day that you're going to need to be forgiven. If you are deciding that I cannot, and I've heard this, I don't think there's any sadder statement. I really don't, especially from somebody that's saved. I can't think of a sadder statement than I cannot forgive them. I don't think that there is a crime that is heinous enough that you can't forgive somebody. Your flesh doesn't want to. You're at enmity. Your flesh is at enmity with God. Can't be subject unto God. But inside of you dwells somebody that is so much greater than your flesh that you cannot utter the words from your mouth, it is impossible for me to forgive. Because it's not impossible. It's a choice. We learned in Psalm, blessed are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you get into your scriptures at all, you'll come to the realization very quickly that God has forgiven you of so much. How in the world could we not forgive anything? We talked about the talents, about how God gave five talents to one person. How God delivered forgiveness in a parable. The master delivered forgiveness to one of his servants that owed him so much. He gave him forgiveness of all these things. He owed him so much money. And God decided, I'm going to forgive you. And then he walked away. And the least little bit of thing, the least thing, the servant came to him and said, I want all my money right now. And he said, well, just give me a little bit. And the same statement that he made to his master, just give me a little bit and I'll pay you back. And the master said, no, I forgive you. He's made the same, that servant of his made the same statement to him. Just give me a little while and I'll pay you back. He said, no, and threw him into prison. When the master found out what he had done, he's pretty upset. Think about this for a moment. How much has God forgiven you? How much does he continue to forgive? Forget about your past sins. How much does he forgive today? Forget about your today's sins. Think about your future, what you're going to do this afternoon. What has God forgiven you? Yet I've had people that say, I will not forgive him. I have had people say, I cannot forgive them. And yes, there are times when it seems to be impossible. They've done so much to me. It's impossible. Don't ever say it's impossible. Because all things are possible. All things are possible. And in some of the days when you think that you cannot take another step forward, you got to realize you must have inside of you something that dwells right in here that you are willing and first choice is to forgive. How can people do it? How can they forgive somebody? And there's what's sad is the hardest relationships to repair are family. Sadly, you would think those would be the easiest, but they're the hardest. I'll never forget when I was a kid. We used to have Easter dinner over at one of the girls' houses because my mom and my two aunts used to share the duty of who would have the holiday. And one day they had the holiday at my Aunt Cindy's house. You know Cindy and Joe. At my Aunt Cindy's house. We were over there having the traditional Easter dinner and ham and everything that goes with that. Almost ready to pray. I haven't had breakfast this morning. And the children were all running around having a great time, and all of a sudden we came in the house and the family was completely silent. Yeah, immediately, uh-oh. Everything that once was gleeful now was hushed. Nobody said a word. We left at 2 o'clock, right after dinner, 2 o'clock. Well, the boys didn't understand that. We used to play all day. We'd never leave until the evening time, late, games and everything else we used to have as a family. And my family's weird when it comes to that kind of stuff. Here's what's funny. I didn't find out until 10 years later. I didn't see those people for 10 years. 10 years. Do you want to know what the forgiveness issue was, Miss Andy? It was a plate. A plate. P-L-A-T-E. Plate. My grandmother had passed away years before this and gave my Aunt Cindy her set of china. They wanted to put out a platter, and one of the girls wouldn't do it. I should own the platter. I should have this. I should have that. And it was World War III. The family didn't talk for a decade. No forgiveness. I say this about my family, but I wonder if in your mind you're thinking of somebody that maybe isn't yours. And you might think that a platter is crazy. There's no way. I've heard families divide over a lot less. Because you find in your heart that the people that you're supposed to love more, the people that you're supposed to care about more, the people that you're supposed to embrace more, if you can't have your family, how in the world are you going to tell me you're going to have friends? I know that people and families are difficult to get along with. I know that. We're ornery humans. I'm so glad you're one of them. But know this, God is not pleased with our lack of forgiveness. Behold, I've forgiven you all in salvation. I've forgiven you all. I lay nothing to your charge. But we can't wait to split a family over a plate. See, we got to come to a point in our lives where we realize that being a Christian is not a spectator sport. And I know forgiveness is not easy. The one doing the forgiving. Being forgiven, that's easy. You love that. You can't wait to be forgiven. There's things that I've done that, man, I hope I am forgiven for. But when you have to do the forgiving, when somebody slighted you, I can't forgive. You don't know what I'm going through, preacher. No, but God does, and God demands you forgive. There's no excuse here. We went over this last week in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. If we're offended, then we should go to the person. That's what it talks about. Well, bless God, I've been offended. I should go to them. But then you got to understand later on in Matthew chapter 18, I'm sorry, in 5, it's if we have offended somebody, go to them. In 18, if we are offended, go to them. You got no excuse. The Bible's telling you, you as a Christian have no excuse. If you've offended somebody, you're supposed to go make it right. And a lot of that preaching doesn't happen anymore. I talked about that last week as well. You know, it's amazing how little we preach about getting right with God anymore. Oh, you get a good dose of it here because you're in an independent fundamental Baptist church where your pastors are unapologetic. You know, here's what's sad. We spend more time worrying about the things of this world and worrying about the temporal things, keeping our focus off of God and the eternal, putting it on the temporal, and we waste more time worrying about that and not getting right with God. When's the last time your knees touched down the carpet nap on the altar to get right with God? Not to come forward to pray for somebody else. Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, by the way. I think it's great to offer a gift at the altar to pray for somebody. But when's the last time you spent some time here yourself for what you have done? I hate to say it, I spend more time at the altar for me than I do you. Why? Because I'm a sinner, man. I am a dirty, rotten sinner, and I need forgiveness. I need to confess what I've done. And it's amazing. As a Christian, you come up with more stuff. Being a Christian, if you want to have a walk with God, and this is what I've always cautioned you on this. If you got somebody that's constantly saying how close they are to God, well, look at me, I'm close to God. I'm more spiritual now than I've ever been. Man, run. I've said this, and I'll keep saying this because this is the truth. And it's Bible principle. The closer you get to God, the dirtier you are. The closer you get to God, the more humble you're going to be. You're not going to go around talking about how great you are. You're going to go around talking about how great He is. I'm not spiritual. God is great. I'm not good and clean. God is good and clean. I'm not perfect. He is. Matter of fact, I can't wait to tell you how much of a dirty sin bag I am, because you got to realize something. You are too. That puts us all in the same boat. When you realize who you are, where you've been, where you're going, you understand it's not so hard to forgive anymore. To be able to forgive, you got to realize you're capable of needing forgiveness yourself. Think about that for a moment. That's profound. I think I'd write that down if I were you. To be able to forgive, you've got to realize that you are going to need somebody someday to forgive you. It's almost like setting up a bank account. I'm going to make a deposit of forgiveness today because I know later on I'm going to need to make a withdrawal. Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you? When we want to fix a ruptured relationship, we've got to do our best to try to be not the one to break the friendship off, not the one to break off the relationship. We've got to do our best to always try to fix it. Mothers are good about that. You ever had a mother be the glue of the house? Always trying to fix everything, always trying to bring something back together. You ever tried that mother hen thing that the women always have? Oh, Daddy, it's okay. Don't beat the children too hard right now. You ever have that? See, they do that because they want to try not to break it up, not to. And that leads me to a thought. I wonder when we break off a relationship with somebody, if we weren't wanting that to break off in the first place. Ooh, boy, that's good preaching, ain't it? Do you hold something against somebody? See, understand this. If you hold something against somebody, if you've got an ought against a brother right now, and they may not even know it, you are the one that's right here ready to rupture a relationship. You're ready to give in. Listen, you need to hear this. I need friends. You may not think you do, but you do. You need good Christian people. I don't even hang out with people outside of this church. Does that make me bad? My friends are all right here in this building. I need friends. I need people. You need people. A lot of people think they don't. Boy, they lead miserable lives. I need people. I need to love people. I need to have them love me. I don't want to be the one that stands on the edge of breaking a relationship and let it go because I'm a Christian and I should be the one trying to fix it. What's sad is a lot of the relationships are between Christians, and we can't get it right. Do you know how many church splits you have over people that rupture relationships? Do you know how many people leave a church because they can't come to grips with who a person is? I know I'm ornery. I know it. But bless God, I am a human just like everybody else. Why can't we come to grips with that with each other? You might say, well, brother, you're pleading your case for forgiveness. No, I'm pleading for you. I'll tell you why I'm pleading for you. If you can't learn to forgive, you're going to die bitter. You're going to die bitter. And I don't want to be on my deathbed having people come to check out my casket to make sure I'm in there. We've got to do our best to try to preserve. Your flesh doesn't want to do this. That's why it's so hard. I'm not preaching up here like it's easy. But I'm going to be honest with you. The more you forgive, the easier it's going to be. The more you forgive, I'll say it again, the more times you forgive, the easier it's going to be. It's just like exercising your faith. The more you forgive, the easier it's going to become. You make a determined decision today, Brother Mike, no matter what happens, I'm going to forgive. No matter what happens. And then something comes along, it's going to be hard. You can make the decision, but it doesn't make it any easier. Like, I've got to make the decision someday to go to the dentist to fix my tooth. But I hate the dentist. I mean, with a passion. And I know that I'm going to have to go, and I made the decision that I'm going to go, but that doesn't make it happening any easier. Because I don't like them. I wish I could put a muffler on that stupid drill. I'll tell you that right now. That thing makes me want to come straight out of my skin when that thing turns on. And usually a 7 or 8 year old little girl walks in first. Hi, dentist. She goes in, comes out with a lollipop and a big smile on her face. I come out, feel like my face is going to slide off, and I'm mad. You've got to make the decision. You've got to remember the good in the past. See, my family forgot something when they broke off for 10 years. They forgot that they grew up together. Listen to me now. They forgot that they went sled riding during the winter. They forgot that there was a day that they provided dinners for each other, not just at the holidays. They forgot that there were days that they played hide and seek. They forgot that there were days that they prayed for each other. They forgot about the days that they had as family. They forgot about those days. And forgetting about what the good things people have done for you and to you in the past will make it much easier to rupture a relationship. If you forget about that. There's times that each and every one of you in this room have helped me. Oh, you may not know that you did, but you did. You sitting in here today, coming every week, helps me, encourages me. It's almost, again, like a bank account. And I'm not telling you to work for my admiration. Don't care about my admiration. Care about his admiration. But understand this, every one of you have helped me out somewhere along the line. I don't know if I've helped every one of you out, but I've done my best to do so. Don't forget the good. Don't forget the good, because if we forget, it's amazing how quickly we do, though. We forget the good things that have happened because of one problem. We're ready to break off all the good. For one thing, one issue, a plate. We missed 10 years of being together with family because of a plate. No forgiveness, no care, no love. We forgot the past. Now, all the past is not going to be rosy and clean. Understand that. But you must understand as well, God wants you to remember the good that has happened through your life. Why don't you praise God enough? Because you're worrying about the dirty, rotten, nasty now. And what is God doing for me now? What has God done for me lately? What has God? Listen to me now. If God never does another thing for me, He's already done too much. I don't worry about what God's doing for me right now. I wonder what I'm doing for God right now. Boy, that preach is good too. Come on, I'm rolling them off this morning. If you worry about now and forget about the good things that have happened, it's a lot easier to rupture a relationship. A lot easier. You need to understand something. We have got to not be the ones to break it off. We have got to be the ones that think about our lives. Think about the people that have helped us and loved us and cared about us. It'll make it a lot easier to forgive when something happens. Another thing, and boy, this happens a lot. And I'm going to say some things in the next 2 points that may bother some of you. But I don't care, it needs to be said. Remember that there are people around you watching you. Remember that there are people around you watching you. I want you to remember when you break off your relationship that there are innocent people involved. That there are innocent people that are standing by. Remember the little ships that followed Jesus out there, followed the big ship, and a storm came. You know what those little ships were doing? They were watching the big ship. They were watching. They said, what is going to happen here? There are people that watch me. They want to see what Brother Dave's going to do in the face of adversity. They're going to, well, he preaches good, but I want to see what happens to him. And I hope and pray that I do good, but you got to understand this. What if I don't? Is that my write-off day? This is good preaching. Is that the end of it for Brother Dave? Oh, he messed up. He's done. Not very easy to remember the past when Brother Dave has hurt you in a certain way. Not very easy to remember the past, but understand this. There's people around that are watching you. There's people around that are watching how you handle things. There's people around you that your character will be revealed during some of these times. There's people that are around you that care about your Christian attitude. There's people around you that are watching your maturity. There's people around you that are waiting for us to grow up. Oh my goodness, that's good. See, a lot of us have been Christians for years but have never gotten past being a baby. We've never gotten to the part in Psalms where it says, blessed are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Things offend me, but I hope and pray that there's a day that I grow up a little bit. I remember talking often about when I was young in the ministry, talking about having pacifier Sunday so all the babies could have something to do during church. You must understand something, folks. We live in a day and age more today than ever that it's easy to forget each other. Why is it so easy, Brother Dave? Because we've got things going on. We're so busy anymore, we can't think about God. We're so busy anymore, we can't think about Christ. And if somebody messes up your busy schedule, now you're offended. And what's amazing is we are ready to write people off. Do you know why you're ready to write people off? Enjoy this one. You'll like this. Because it takes work to work it out. It takes work to sit down across this thing from Brother Coolidge and say, Brother Coolidge, this is what's going on. I don't have time. My job is taking me away from all of my Christian duties. I don't have time to go to church. I don't want to see that man's face. And you let that bitterness build up inside your life, build up inside your life, and your Pharisaical attitude will cut off a rupture relationship someday where you may be needing Coolidge's attention. I can't lose his relationship. As a Christian man, I can't lose Brother Coolidge's relationship with me. I can't lose it. I've got to have his. I need to know that there's going to be a day that I can count on him, and he needs to know that there's going to be a day that he can count on me. I can't let something come between us. I cannot let a rupture happen. Can't let it happen. It takes work to keep that going. You know why? Because we're humans and we're going to continuously make people mad. Don't be the one that won't do the work. Don't be the one that won't set aside time to make sure that everything's all right. Don't be upset when somebody comes to you and say, are you mad? You know how many times I get that? Once a week. Are you mad at me? Here's a telltale sign when Brother Dave's mad. When I'm standing in front of you with my eyebrows up, you'll know I'm mad. Because let me explain something to you. I literally am very hard to make mad. You wouldn't think that, but I am. I'm very hard to make mad. When I get that way, you're going to know. Because I'm going to come and stand in front of you. Because I've learned throughout the years, and I'm bearing myself to you today. I've learned throughout the years that going to somebody else about my anger is not the way to get it done. Because I've done it. Because I've done it. I'm so glad that none of you have. I've done it. I've been offended or upset at people and gone to somebody else to tell them all about the offense. That doesn't get it done. You know what it does? It involves innocent people. And it lets them draw an opinion on somebody that otherwise they had no opinion about. It lets them draw a conclusion about somebody that really isn't there. The picture that I paint of somebody in somebody else's mind, well, Brother Dave's trustworthy, certainly this is correct. And now you go around being bitter towards this person, they never offended you ever. Do you see the innocent being hurt? Do you see the Christian being slain? Do you see the weaker not being upheld by the strong? Do you see the bitterness and the devil and his work and having his way with our lack of care and lack of forgiveness, being willing to cast aside relationships, being willing to tear people apart, being willing not to do what we're supposed to do as Christians? Why? Because we are better than they. Is that truly what God wants us to do? I imagine he looks down and is grieved when he sees two pieces of dust fighting over which one is better. There are folks watching. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to read you something and I'm going to talk to you about a very important subject. There is another side of the coin. As much as you ought not go to people that aren't involved and tell them about what you're going through, because it lets them draw opinions and lets them draw thoughts, and lets them receive your hatred and anger, lets them receive your lack of forgiveness, just as much so, you got to be careful, little ears, what you hear. You ever hear that statement? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You got to be very careful. It's so easy to watch the car accident. Why does traffic slow down when there's people in pain and torment? Why? Because you want to see the accident. You want to see what's going on. We almost have a sick attitude where we want to see somebody laying on the ground bloody. I don't want to see Christians laying on the ground bloodied. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. What was he doing? What was he doing here? You know the story of Absalom. What was he doing? He was getting ready to usurp his daddy. Verse 2, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king, who did they come to? They came to the king. If you know me at all, I love my preacher. I'll say that again for you. I love my preacher. When you come to me for a judgment, I tell you to go to somebody else. Who do I tell you to go to? I tell you to go to my dad. Why? Because he's your shepherd. I'm your associate shepherd. I don't have the big long crook in my hand like he does. He's your man of God. Look at what this does. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, Oh, that I were made judge of in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me and I would do him justice. Associate pastor has a marvelously intense job. I'm not saying this to you to make you feel bad for me. I couldn't care less. But one of the jobs of the associate pastor is to be loyal to his preacher. To a fault, by the way. To be loyal to his pastor, because I can split a church so easily in the position I'm in. I could go to you and start saying, the old man is cracking up. I could do that. Let me tell you something. Dr. Lacey told me a story one time. He's run 1,400. His associate pastor stabbed him in his back. And the church ran 700. People know about the story of Maslin. If you know anything about Maslin Baptist Temple, the associate pastor stabbed the preacher in the back and took half his people. Why? Because he was standing at the gate saying, if I were the judge, this is what I would do. If I were the judge, I'm not saying I never had these thoughts. As a man, as a human, you're going to have these thoughts. Your actions display your true feelings. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would direct you to my preacher. I would tell you to go to my preacher. Why? Because there are people in the balance. There's lives in the balance. And you've got to be careful in the ears what you hear. What does that mean? It's amazing how many people came to Absalom. It says later on in that chapter that he turned the hearts of the people of Israel to him. Away from their king to him. There's people out there. And I'm saying this because of the other side of the coin. As much as you should not be willing to go and tell somebody about what's going on with somebody else, as much as you should be willing to keep your mouth shut as Christians about other Christians going through a hard time. Did you hear? I've done that so many times it makes my own self sick. I'm sorry. You've never done it? Did you hear? You can't wait for the car wreck. Oh my goodness, did you hear? But the other side of that coin, Brother Mike says, there's ears that can't wait to hear it. There's ears that cannot wait to hear about the wreck. And as Christians, we cannot wait to hear of our pastor falling. We cannot wait to hear of the great doctrinal issues that are being debated in the realms of the pastorate, hoping that our preacher is part of it. Don't be ears that are willing to hear. I would to God I had a dozen folks that would just say, I don't want anything to do with what you're talking about. If it comes to my preacher, I don't want to hear it. Unless it's good news, don't tell me. I'm thankful that 50% of us said amen. But you got to understand something. There's people, and the reason I say that about your pastor is he is your pastor. And I don't need to go to bat for him. He bats for himself. Don't misread me. He's been here long enough where you have trust in him and you ought to. But understand this. I've heard people come to me about you. I would imagine somewhere along the line you've had people come to you about me. But what you must understand is this. You got a choice. You can either rupture the relationship or you can tell the people, hey, pound sand. I'm not going to hear that about another person. See, what's amazing to me is this. We cannot wait to hear about Brother Brian Stevens. Can't wait. Oh, what's he done? Can't wait. Stick with me all day today. There's going to be something to talk about. I'm a sinner. There's things that I do every day that are sinful things. I'm not a terrible guy. I don't go down to the store and pick up a Penthouse magazine. I don't go out and drink alcohol. I don't smoke dope. I don't do those things. But let me tell you something. I'm a sinner nonetheless. So are you. And I've watched more relationships get ruptured because people can't wait to watch the car wreck. People can't wait to stop by and listen to what has to be said. Let me explain something to you. There's people in this room that have done things to other people that they cannot let go of. Why? Because they involved other people and they can't wait to tell other ears, and other ears cannot wait to hear. That happens later on in the Bible. It talks about people having itching ears. You say, well, that's just talking about preaching, is it? It is. It's talking about preaching and teaching. It's amazing how our lives get ready for that, isn't it? Do you have itching ears to hear about what other people are doing? The gossip sessions, the backbiting, the bitterness. Can't wait to be involved. Oh, let me hear what they have to say about him. I would to God one time somebody come to Brother Mike Frymer and says something about his preacher. He would take that person by the arm and march him up to the preacher. Let me see what the pastor says about this. Would you be man enough to do that? Would you be lady enough to realize that, well, this old biddy said something about me. Well, let's go talk to the old biddy and see what she says. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because what happens is you end up drawing a conclusion about the situation you know nothing of. You end up drawing conclusions about something that you are unprepared to believe in or not believe in. You're unprepared. Why? Because you don't know anything about it. You hear one side. As a teacher over here, I get to hear the two-side thing all the time. There's always another side. It's amazing how quickly we can't wait to jump on one team or the other, though. Now, this may offend some of you, but you got to understand this. You have Christian ears. If you're a saved person, you've got Christian ears. And you can choose what to put in them. You can choose. I've got bad news. Is it going to hurt somebody? It's in the process of hurting somebody. Then shut up. Hold your peace. One of my favorite Bible quotes, hold thy peace. Shut up. And realize something. The best way to get rid of your bitterness, the best way to get rid of this anger that you have, the best way, especially if you're part of the innocents, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of preachers get in camps. They get in camps to where they, well, I believe because this guy believes, or I believe I'm right with this guy. He's down the line and I'm with him. Let me explain something to you. I'm with him. I got no use for men anymore. Oh, I understand that we have to realize that there's people that we have to break fellowship because of the growth of the doctrinal issues. I understand all that. But let me explain something to you. I'm for God first. And I'm going to tell you right now, I got no use for what a man's commentary has to say or what some paper has written or what some idiot preaches in his pulpit. I got no use for that. Let's talk about what God says. Let's get inside his Bible. Let's stop worrying about camps and let's start worrying about God's camp. Be careful. Little ears what you hear. I was taught in lifeguard training. I'm almost done. I actually got to be a lifeguard at a quarry for a couple of three summers. And that was a fun job. Do you want to know one of the first things you're taught as a lifeguard in training? It's so relevant to this. Being careful, little ears what you hear. The first thing you're taught in lifeguard training is be very careful when you're going up to somebody that's panicked in the water. Do you want to know why? I bet you know why. Huh? Because they'll pull you down too. Oh, this is good preaching. Thank you, brother. Be careful that you get with drowning Christians. And when I say this, you're in deep water when you start talking about other people. This is good stuff. You're in deep water when you start talking about other people. And I don't care if they've done the offense or not done the offense. You need to hear that. Be careful that when you're talking to the flailing person, when you're talking to the person that's gasping for Christianity, be careful that they don't wrap their arms around your shoulders and pull you down underwater. Be careful that they don't make you part of the drowning. Because I promise you, I could give you a dozen off the top of my head people that were drowned by somebody else's testimony and not their own. They were drowned because they could not get away from the drowning person. They could not wait to pick up the stupid phone and talk to the person going, glub, glub. They could not wait to hear more dirtiness about what was going on. I got to have more. And they were never involved. And now they no longer come to church. Now they no longer participate in any of the Christian activities. They no longer participate in loving and praying for people. Why? Because they drowned because of somebody else's testimony. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You want to repair ruptured relationships? These are things that prevent you from having ruptured relationships. These are things that will help you to stop yourself from hurting people. Do you realize the pain and torment that people go through because of other people that aren't even involved? You let somebody talk about Mike Freimeyer to me, I'm marching you in front of Captain. And that's a scary man to be marched in front of. He gets taller the madder he gets. I don't know if you know that or not. He's about 8 foot tall by the time he looks down at you, I'll tell you. And it's amazing how quick a Christian will backpedal. Well, then it's not what I meant. I didn't mean that. I mean, I'm afraid of him too. I didn't mean that. It wasn't something I said. It was something you said. You tried to hurt that person. But glory to God, some Christian stopped you. You want to stop rupturing relationships. You want to stop doing those things. Well, I can't forgive. Why? Because you've never been forgiven. And next week, we're going to talk about the most important person you can forgive in your entire life. The most important person that you can come to grips with having forgiveness for. We're going to talk about next week. And by the way, it's the most difficult person to forgive. Folks, I say these to you, I'm a 40-year-old man, I'm a pup. I know that. But this Bible teaching has been around before the foundations of the world. Forgiveness first. Care for each other first. Stand up for each other first. Don't allow somebody to tear somebody else up. Stand up for each other. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll repair dozens of relationships if you'll just hold on to those few things. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. We've ruptured our relationship with you so many times, but Lord, you will not allow it to rupture. You're always there with open arms waiting to forgive. You're always there with open arms saying, it doesn't matter what you've done, I love you. It doesn't matter how bad you've been, I know it, I know your frame, I know your heart. I'm so thankful that you do. I would to God we would search your Bible and realize that we ought to know a little bit about each other as well. And we ought to be ready to give each other a couple of hundred benefits of the doubt. So we don't rupture relationships with them. Because I got to be honest with you, if we've got a ruptured relationship with a Christian, how can our relationship with you be right? Lord, please help us. Help us, Lord, to stick to the golden rule that's been around for hundreds of years. Do unto others as they would do unto, as you'd have them do unto you. And Lord, let us be careful. Let us be careful to stay away from the car wreck. Let us be careful to turn our head away from the things that would hurt us the most. Lord, let us stay away from having itching ears ready to hear. Lord, let us have compassionate thoughts ready to repair. Lord, please help us today. Help us to do the things that we're so bad at. Help us to get you to be bigger inside of our lives and our hearts. Because there's going to be a day, Lord, when we have to call upon you. Let us call upon you early so we get used to doing that. Oh, God, be with us today. Help my preacher. Oh, God, anoint his lips today to give us exactly what you'd have him to give. Lord, be with my family. Be with Miss Rosie. Be with Tammy and David Richard. Lord, be with them and let them know that you love them. Oh, God, be with Johnny Cockrell right now. Be with that family in a special way. Oh, God, please, wrap your arms around him and let him know that you love him today. Lord God, this is the times we need you so much. God, be with him in a very present and helpful way. And Lord, let us have a great church service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.